Good evening, and welcome to a Fireside Chat. This is your host, Lance White, otherwise known as Zany Mystic. Tonight, I'm honored to have a friend and fellow radio show hostess, Liz Miller, with me tonight. Liz is respected and well-known as a nightclub DJ, a Hatha yoga teacher, healing coach practitioner, sound and crystal and healer, and esoteric counselor. Like most adult indigo, she's led an unconventional life a tad ahead of the crowd. What differentiates Liz is an expansive being and what I call an enlarged heart. That means that she demonstrates in everything she does the same genuine capacity for caring and compassion. So let's welcome Liz to the show now. Hi, Liz. How are you?
Hi, Lance. I'm great. Thank you. Thank you for that beautiful, warm welcome.
Oh, good, good. Well, you know, it's the least I can do for, you know, somebody who just opens their heart every week in your own radio show, Otherwhere. And it's just such a fabulous show. I just, I marvel at it, at your ability to create such warmth and feeling and, you know, a connectedness.
Well, thank you very much. That's wonderful, and I'm glad that you can feel that coming from me, because
mm-hmm.
it's very, very sincere, and it's just been such a joy for me to go through the journey of working with, you know, disinformation in this particular way,
mm-hmm.
given that my main income has been DJing, and yoga teaching has taken the back burner in many instances to the DJing, because sometimes I just get so busy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, before I actually started this show, there was a long process of me getting over myself and just trusting that what I wanted to do was going to be okay, and no matter what anybody said or no matter what my disco friends thought of me,
mm-hmm.
I would go ahead with it and trust that I really was meant to be doing something along these lines,
mm-hmm.
and getting out there in the world and connecting with other people,
mm-hmm.
Especially overseas, which has just been like the greatest lifeline for me. I've felt, like many indigos, you know, lots of feelings of isolation throughout my life.
Uh-huh.
And even prior to just starting the show, I still had that. But now that I've got the Otherwhere Network and the show has just been so amazing at bringing through incredible guests and life-changing information for myself
mm-hmm.
and for the listeners.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's just, I'm so glad that I pushed through.
Yeah, I know. You know, I had a point, too, when I was contemplating, you know, not doing my show. And, you know, there weren't a lot of people that encouraged me, but there were the right people. And they said, well, I just love your show, and I can't wait to hear it on a Friday. And then I thought, well, gee, you know, maybe I should just stick with it a little bit longer, you know. And it wasn't that, I don't know. You know, we all go through those moments where we doubt ourselves. And, you know, but there was a time, too, when, you know, like you, I would never have thought of myself being on the radio. You know, and then I kind of followed your journey in some of the groups at Yahoo.
Yes.
And then got to, you know, listen to the feedback on your show in your group, which is also called Otherwhere, right?
Yes, that's right.
Surprise, surprise, and, which I happen to be in, and it's a wonderful group, by the way. I mean, it's just the people in your group are, it's a great group of people.
It certainly is. It's just been so incredible for me to get to know everybody and to be the recipient or on the receiving end of some of the postings that are shared among all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the things that have come through have just been so incredible. I've been brought to tears so many times by what people have shared.
Mm-hmm.
And the level of intimacy that we can actually, you know, build with each other, that's been incredible as well.
Yeah.
Feel as though we can rely on one another when we have problems in our lives and we just want to talk about them or see what other people have to say.
Yeah.
That's been fantastic, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I don't have much family left, and what little family I had to begin with, you know, wasn't really, it was kind of tattered and torn, and so, you know, they're all pretty much gone now. And it's like rediscovering or discovering new family that you know or have known in maybe past lives. And I mean, I don't feel the need for close family. I feel like the people in the groups are my family.
Yeah.
You know, I care about them as much as I would, you know, my own, you know, the blood family. So doesn't it seem like that's what's happening these days, that people are starting to, you know, find bonds on the internet and in new ways, that we're finding soulmates and family that we wouldn't ordinarily find?
Oh, absolutely. And that's been a really big motivator for me for producing the program that I do produce. It was one way for me to connect with my family, because I knew that they were out there, and I just had to find a way to become a hub.
Yeah.
And reach out in whatever way that I could, so that the right people could reach back.
Yeah.
And that's happened, and it happened really quickly. Actually, that was really incredible. There seems to have been a core group of people that have been listening to the program Otherwhere for a long time now, since it began, gee, I guess it's about 16 months ago now. And, the people who were there back then are still listening now. They're still part of they're definitely entrenched members of the Otherwhere network. And we've all gotten to know each other really well. And
yeah.
And that's just been, like I said before, my lifeline.
Yeah.
It's helped me, you know, realize the knowledge that I had in my heart.
Yeah.
That everyone was out there, and you're definitely part of that family. You know, you've just been so incredible in terms of the contribution that you've made to the group.
Oh,
so
thank you
for that.
I just, you know, I'm retired and I have nothing to do, and it's like I thought, well, you know, I loved what Bashar said about, you know, follow your bliss and do what you love doing. And so I decided, well, I'm not going to feel guilty about being on the internet. And and spiritual posts, really, sometimes they just move you right to the core.
Oh, I know.
And it's like, you know, I could skim through, you know, a few dozen, and then all of a sudden there's that one post that seems like it's just written for you.
Yeah.
And it's just so amazing.
Yeah.
And so I kind of live for those aha moments. And, you know, as you know, the synchronicity sometimes will start hitting too, and they start piling up, and it's like you just can't even blink an eye without, you know, experiencing some form of synchronicity. So,
yeah, well, that's always a good sign to let you know that you're walking the right path, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Whenever I see synchronicity in my life, I smile, because I know that whatever it is I'm doing, to just keep doing it, because it's okay.
Yeah.
And I really, really do use that on a day-to-day basis as my guide.
Mm.
The more often it occurs, the more positive I feel about the direction I'm walking in.
Oh, absolutely.
Also, there's something I'd like to mention about the family thing, and that's that I guess it would have been about 18 months ago now, there was a Stargate alignment that occurred, and it might have been the 888 of 2 years ago, and there were some messages that came out at the time, some channeled information that really resonated with me, and as I've observed my life and the lives of my close friends and others, I've seen a pattern definitely happening with people finding members of their family who weren't that born under the same roof as them, you could say.
Right.
And a lot of people, I guess a couple of years ago, and you might remember back then if this happened to you too, that many people who had been with you for different lengths of time in your life, some longer, some shorter, sort of dropped away while others came along who you instantly felt a deep connection with, who you knew that you could work on projects with and perhaps create change together in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I'm finding is really happening, that we're all finding our way back to the precise people mm-hmm. that we've made prior agreements with.
Yeah, absolutely.
To do the things that we're here to do. And this is the time when hopefully now we've found those people. They're around us now, or they're just about to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the people who really are very deep soulmates of ours.
Yes.
And really are family members in lots of cases. That's a really great thing that I've observed. Have you seen that yourself?
Oh, absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes somebody will, you know, there are no accidents. So when people communicate with me or with other people, you can take it on several levels. Since we're multidimensional, you can take it, well, you know, that's an interesting experience, but you can also take it from the viewpoint that this is all scripted from the other side, and that we're doing the scripting, and that we're placing other people in our path to learn from.
Right.
And you know, I have met the most incredible people, and one person lives in Malta, and she's just such a treat to talk to. And, you know, I've never met her in person, but I'm thinking about going back to Malta to visit her at the end of the year.
And, that's great.
You know, isn't it amazing? I mean,
well, you know, the thing is that once you get to Malta, something else will inevitably occur to show you that, you know, the reason for you to be in Malta was actually there, and she facilitated that for you. As well as, obviously, you having the connection with her, which undoubtedly is there.
Absolutely.
I'm sure that...
Absolutely. She even said that.
There'll be things that you discover, you know.
Yes, exactly. It's really like a magic carpet ride. And, you know, when you let yourself go with the flow and don't resist it, it's amazing the doors that open up. You find that too, don't you?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and you know, you create a lot less drama in your life when you go with the flow. And I know that's such a cliche, but you could also say, if you're pushing shit up a hill, find another hill.
No.
You know what I mean? Because there's no point.
Yeah.
And it's not going to take you anywhere where you really want to go. You might think you want to go to that place, but it's not really where your heart will inevitably lead you.
Yeah.
If you just tune into your heart and stop listening to your head, which is what most of us tend to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the more we allow our hearts to be our guides, the easier life gets.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and I think that... Do you feel, I just want to kind of get a little bit of, not background, but just lay the groundwork. Do you feel that these times in particular are accelerated, whether you call it the Mayan 2012 end times or prophetic or the Kali Yuga or whatever? I mean, have you found that this is a crucial time for all of us, for humanity in general, as well as in your own life?
Yes, I absolutely do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that some people probably don't experience that feeling of acceleration as mm-hmm. pronounced as some others. I think it has a lot to do with the level of awareness that you're at and, you know, the kinds of frequencies that you're attuned to
mm-hmm.
that may perhaps alter your perception of how time is moving.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything is ultimately in our minds, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I love that saying, it's all in your mind.
Yeah.
It's all in the one mind.
Right.
Yeah. The times that we're living in are absolutely vital. And I'm sure the ones... You know, the people who are really feeling that sense of acceleration are also people who are perhaps here with very definite roles to play,
mm-hmm.
who perhaps are also feeling a sense of urgency in getting done what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's not very easy. Depends on your circumstances. But obviously, if you have people around you who aren't as open-minded perhaps, or haven't had the same kinds of experiences that others have had, where there's a fuller sensory perception, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes it very difficult for people to break out of those structures, but this is the time when it's so, so important that people begin to trust who they are on the inside and live authentically as much as they possibly can,
mm-hmm.
without causing themselves too much grief, because we really need people to wake up and get on with it.
Yeah, it seems like we're headed towards a critical mass. I've heard some of my guests talk about percentages, and they claim that, you know, somewhere around 1 to 1.5% of the population is all that's needed to awaken the rest.
Yeah,
and
I've heard
that it's kind of like a 100th monkey principle, that you know, once we reach that consensus, then everybody has the same information. So, you know, we're all operating then from the same enlightened or aware place, and I don't know what that would look like. You know, it's almost inconceivable given the way things are now. But I think it's possible and might even be likely.
Well, I think that we create that in our own lives, in the way that we interact with our, you know, friends and associates, and how we try to gracefully, you know, live our lives and deal with whatever life throws at us in a way that is graceful, as graceful as possible. I find that I'm seeing it happening in my life more and more and more as I come from a better place on the inside.
Yeah.
That's being reflected back to me
yeah.
from my friends, my family, from work. And so that's where we all need to begin, just with ourselves and not worrying so much about what's going on in the world and how much trouble we're in, but really stop being distracted by that and get into our hearts, get quiet as often as we can so that we can listen to what's going on inside.
Mm-hmm.
And as we do that, automatically our world will begin to reflect that back to us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just about us getting over our ego and all of our negative self-programming.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I know.
And truly owning how incredible and beautiful we are and how magical we are.
Mm-hmm.
There is just so much magic in everything that we are. If people would just stop for a minute and remember that, things in our world would be different automatically.
Yeah.
There's a lot of unmagic that's being created in our world, to coin a term that Jane Roberts used.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And I like Jane Roberts. I've read a lot of her, not everything, but tell me more.
Well, there's a beautiful book called The Adventures of Oversoul 7, or The Further Education of Oversoul 7.
Yeah, it's a wonderful book.
Yeah, and in the appendix, which is the little book that Oversoul 7 wrote for Tweety as an infant, so he could read it to her when she was sleeping.
Mm.
And it was all about life. Do you remember that?
No.
There are instructions for living.
I think I missed that part.
They're some of my favorite instructions for living that I've ever come across.
Well, I'll have to go back and read it.
If every child could be given that and be weaned on that, our world would be so, so different. But basically the main thrust of the little appendix is that everything is magic.
Mm.
Everything is magic. And we know that at a deep level.
Yeah.
But sometimes we get convinced that there is no magic at all.
Yeah.
And that you can't do anything. You're just like this leaf in a windstorm.
Yeah.
And you create unmagic. And unmagic is things like getting sacked from your job.
Yeah.
Or breaking up with your partner and going through an awful divorce, or, you know, a messy situation with somebody that's close to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's unmagic, and basically Oversoul 7 says, so, well, you'll just keep creating on magic for as long as you need to until you work out that everything is magic again. And when you remember that everything's magic again, then you'll stop creating on magic. And you know, it's so true. There's a lot of people out there who don't believe at all in magic.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things, was one of the first things for me as a child that had me hooked. I wanted to know everything about magic.
Oh, I was kind of like that too.
Yeah.
I mean, we're both adult indigo, so, you know, I don't know how your childhood was, but did you have little imaginary play friends? And?
Yes, but my imaginary, well, they weren't quite imaginary play friends, but I often would be speaking to the ants and having conversations with bees and things like
that. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, they, we were communicating.
Yeah, that's magic.
So there were those, but I didn't have any ones that I could see.
Me neither.
I longed for those ones.
Me too.
Yeah, I didn't actually have any of them.
Me too. And I know some children do have the ability, especially now with the indigos and crystals and, you know, rainbows and multicolored and polka dot kids. You know.
We could just call them the new children.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I take it for granted that people know what we're talking about, and of course, probably most people do, but, you know, those are the special kids that are, you know, they're coming in without all the baggage that we had.
Yeah.
You know, and they're a little closer to the other side, and they're able to communicate with each other telepathically, and they have special abilities. And I think that's our natural state, and I think that's where we're headed.
Oh, you know? I totally agree.
Yeah.
And they're a little bit like the prototypes, you know, showing us that this is our potential. And then when we realize that potential, more little children will come along who are the next ones.
Yes, exactly.
And so it will go on. But, yeah, they're just a delight, aren't they? It's incredible to be around them, to feel the energy coming from them. It's so overwhelmingly wonderful.
Yeah. So you live in Australia.
Yes.
And, you know, I've been reading about the drought there. Is that bothering? Is that something that's very disturbing to the country?
Yeah, actually, it has been very disturbing because the drought's been 10 years now. And, of course, there's been intermittent rain in between. But
yeah.
The current reserves all around the country are very low. They're in some states, like up in Queensland, they're critical, and the residents up there are on stage 5 water restrictions, which means that they get basically a couple of buckets every day to wash themselves with, and then another couple of buckets a day to, you know, do the washing up, and it's very, very restricted, and there's absolutely no watering of gardens or anything like that. However, we've had some really wonderful rain over the last month, and even just the last couple of days, we had some fantastic rainfall, and I have a feeling it may have something to do with pretty much everybody who's in a leadership position has been spotted on TV asking people to pray for rain. Even the Prime Minister asked people to pray for rain last week.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah, it's incredible. So there you go, collective consciousness.
Yes, that's it. Well,
it
really
good.
Does work.
Yeah, and we're hoping that it will keep up and staying as positive as possible about it, because there's no point in getting down about it. We just have to keep praying rain, as Greg Braden would say.
What's your intuition about it being well, everything, of course, is interrelated and connected, but, you know, global warming has become kind of a hot topic lately, and what's your gut feeling about that? Do you think it has to do with the Earth changes that we're all experiencing and the changes in the solar flares? And
well,
is it just life?
There's definitely lots of activity going on out there beyond our atmosphere, and we're moving in 2012, you know, the astronomers have just announced that the year 2011 will be one of the highest for sunspot activity.
Yes.
And whenever there are storms on the sun, we generally have storms here on Earth, or big hurricanes like we had with Katrina. Apparently at the time of Katrina, there were some fierce storms on the sun.
I didn't know that.
Also, there's a lot of data that's been collected regarding the temperature of the solar system in general and how most of the planets have been recorded as heating up from the inside. And I think that either... Now, I don't want to be caught out on this one. It could be Venus. I believe, or it, actually, maybe it's not Venus, but it's one of the, it's not one of the inner planets.
I heard that Mars ice caps were melting.
Yeah, and an atmosphere was forming on one of the planets, or a beginning of an atmosphere, which was very interesting. So in terms of global warming, yes, global warming is going on, not only on Earth, but it seems on most of the planets, if not all of the planets in our solar system, which would indicate that we're going through some kind of a galactic season, perhaps, or as we come to the closing of the many cycles that are ending in the time around 2012, not precisely on 2012, I believe, that 2013 will be a very significant year as well. You know, that's definitely playing a role. That's definitely influencing our sun and our solar ring. And there is, of course, us here on Earth, and I think it would be kind of arrogant for us to not take any ownership of the changes in the atmosphere. To say that we couldn't have an effect on our planet in that way, I think is totally preposterous because we are part of the planet. We're not in any way separate from the planet at all. So it is us. And we are it. And the weather patterns that we're seeing are very much a reflection of our consciousness as well. We definitely collectively affect the weather with our negative thoughts and emotions, as we affect other things that are more sort of dense, you know? So,
And, you know, it seems like we've really, I know I have, you know, in the past, I've disconnected from my early origins or connections to nature, and, you know, for quite a few years, I was totally immersed in, you know, human activities that had nothing to do with communing with nature. And I think that that's something that we all do, which turns out to be to our detriment, that once that connection is severed in our minds, then we begin to see other things as being dead in relation to us, that the couch doesn't have life, or the insects or the birds are not really as intelligent as we are. And I am, I'm totally changing my mind about that subject.
Yeah, it's great when you get to that point.
Oh, it's so wonderful to know that there's that life is so much more intelligent than I am, because if it isn't, then we're in big trouble.
Yeah, it's great to be around. You know, for me, I love being around the soil. I can be in a tiny little flat, but if I have a little bit of soil to play with, I'm okay. And I find that it's incredibly grounding for me to plant things and watch them grow and water them. It's just so wonderful, and I love talking to my plants.
Oh, me too, me too.
And having them talk back to me, that's the best. But, yeah, when we become disconnected from that, you know, we lose that sense of being able to ground our energy. And we do, you know, have a symbiotic relationship with the earth, and it does it does help neutralize excess negative energy in our bodies, and we can let it out through our foot soles. And so when you're covering your foot soles all of the time and you're not actually touching the earth at all with your skin, you cut yourself off automatically from having that healing energy of the earth coming up through your feet as it earths your excess energy that you just don't need. And, you know, excess energy that you don't need can be negative attitudes, it can be old beliefs, it can be pain in your body, it can be all kinds of different manifestations. And, yeah, just getting close to the earth can be incredibly, incredibly healing. also part of our next phase is going to have to be all of us remembering our connection to the earth and how we are the stewards of this planet and how we are so deeply connected with it. When we reach that point of resonance again that we once had, all these things are going to be unlocked in our beingness that have been waiting to be unlocked.
Yeah.
You know, and for that time that we get it, that we start to recognize, as the Pleiadians like to say, that we're the living library cards.
You just read my mind.
Of the living library.
Yes, I'm just now reading Barbara Marciniak's book called Earth.
Isn't that the best book?
Yes, and it's like, I can't put it down.
Yeah, I was exactly the same. I've bought about 7 copies of it and distributed
so
it around my friends.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, years ago, I read her Pleiadian channeling at Stanford, which was in the, I don't remember, the 90s maybe. It was a while back. And it was the first time I actually thought of imagined how things might be different than the way I had always thought they could be. And it was a real moment of awakening. And I have never found anything quite as profound since. I mean, I found more profound information, but, you know, it's just so true.
And it's just so broad in its scope, isn't it?
Oh,
like the way that it covers everything from the black T-shirts, they could be called, or the world management team,
yeah,
as they like to call them, to blood and blood rights and the importance of blood and how powerful blood is.
Oh, yes.
That is just incredible information.
Yeah.
To the stuff about, that's in Path of Empowerment. There's, I don't know if you've read Path of Empowerment, but they talk in there about the checkerboard, and that's really powerful information as well.
Yeah.
In Earth, the stuff about us being the library cards to the living library, and the Earth being a repository of genetic information that's been gathered and saved here from all corners of the universe, making this place very interesting to all kinds of different intelligences, and a place to be observing, you know, as we have been observed for millennia.
Yes.
That stuff is just, you know, when I read through those passages, I felt so deeply that this was information that I was remembering.
Me too.
And that it was in me, and this book was helping to unlock it from my own consciousness again.
Yes.
Because the thing about reading that book, and with many books of this nature, is that you don't just read them like you would read a novel where, you get caught up with the emotion and you follow the characters and all that sort of stuff. With these books, there is so much more going on in every layer of your being.
Yes.
And you can feel things happening in your body as you're reading.
Yes.
Your dreams will change.
Yep.
Information will come to you from all kinds of different avenues that are in many ways some ways very surprising and wonderful, and they're all little clues to show you that the information that you're integrating is right for you.
Yes.
And that you are already embodying it. You just need to allow it to come back out.
Yes.
Into your conscious awareness.
Yes.
And that's the power of a lot of the books that Barbara Marciniak has channeled. I think she's just an incredible gift to the world.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you. I'd love to have her on the show sometime.
So would I.
Well, we can both
I'll
we'll fight for her. Whoever gets her first wins. No. Who are some other people, some other deeply spiritual or evolved beings that you found really moved your soul forward in your own journey?
Well, I would have to say my two yoga teachers, Di Lucas and Lucille Wood.
Okay.
These two women run Gita International Yoga, which is the oldest yoga school here in Australia.
Uh-huh.
and it's where I did my teacher training as a yoga teacher and my esoteric training from the age of 17.
Wow.
And I was very keen, very, very, very keen to do esoteric studies. When I'll just do a little bit of a preamble before I get to those two lovely ladies.
Okay.
When I was very, very young, I was on the path very clearly from a very young age.
Uh-huh.
When I was 4 years old, I remember this as clearly as day. I stood up in church next to my mother singing carols and or the hymns, actually. We used to go there every Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And my mother is Filipino, so she's very devout Catholic. And we had this routine, and this one day, I remember it being the most beautiful day outside, and we went inside the church, which is a very beautiful church here in Melbourne called St. Patrick's, and it's quite large. It's in the city, and inside was just damp and cold. I remember walking in there and just thinking, oh, why do I have to be in here?
Yeah.
And I knew that we were going to church, and church was a time when we thought about God more than at other times.
Right.
And I just felt so strongly in my being, oh, God's not in here. I need to get out there in the sun.
Yeah.
I just know he's out there. And, you know, I was with my mum, so I couldn't do anything about it. We were singing hymns at one point in the service, and I looked around at everybody, and everyone looked like a robot.
Huh.
And I just, like my, you know, something clicked in me.
Uh-huh.
And even though I was quite young, I knew enough to know that that's not where I was resonating. and I just had to not be in there anymore.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I sat down, my mother looked down at me and kind of questioned, you know, with a questioning glance, sort of thought, that's funny, but didn't stop. And when she finally sat down, she said quite gently, why did you stop singing? And I said, Mum, I don't think I want to come here anymore. and that was, you know, the first thing that I did. It was like, I can't be part of organized religion.
Yeah.
It's not me.
Yeah.
But I really love so much about what I got from that. And it's been a big part of my life since then, too. It's not like I never went back into church. I've been in many churches.
Right,
and,
right.
And there's a lot that I really love about the services and the teachings, and so, you know, we take what we can use.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And anyway, by the time I was about 13, I was just so like, I have got to do something to find out more about all this stuff.
Right.
And I found my way to white magic.
Okay.
And I got into doing little spells and things.
Oh.
And thought that was really cute. But I still knew that that really wasn't quite it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I tried out reading all of the literature on Wicca, decided after I'd read it all that it still wasn't quite me.
Right.
And at the same time, I'd started doing radio shows with a man who was doing yoga, who introduced me to Gita yoga, because one day I remember looking at him and saying, what have you done? He looked amazing. He was happy. He was just on top of everything, and he hadn't always been like that.
Huh.
And he said, oh, I've been doing yoga.
Huh.
So instantly my ears pricked up, and I just had to know if he was able to do some kind of, like, classes there. do they teach, you know? And I didn't even have a name for it, but I just knew that it was something that I wasn't able to find yet.
Uh-huh.
And he said, well, yes, you can actually do esoteric classes there. It's called yogic philosophy or ageless wisdom. And you can do that, but you can't do it unless you're doing hatha yoga as well. You must be doing the body work while you're integrating the knowledge. Otherwise, it's not going to be integrated.
Uh-huh.
And that was one of the most beautiful lessons that yoga has taught me, that you must move your body. You must move your body.
Huh.
The body, the mind, the spirit are all so deeply interconnected. If you ignore one, you're really not doing yourself a service. And when you move your body in certain ways, especially with yoga postures, certain things happen within the glands, certain hormones are released into the system that create changes within your physiology, within your emotions, within your levels of, you know, being able to be mentally clear and alert and intelligent. So, yeah, I was just like, okay, I'll just do the yoga. And I really didn't care about that. I just wanted to get that out of the way and get into the classes. But as soon as I went to my first hatha class, my life was changed.
Wow.
And it was so joyful to me to feel my body moving in these ways. And I'm sure that it's because I've probably done it so many times before that I just, it just felt like home.
Yeah.
And as soon as I graduated from my introductory level, I started my esoteric classes. And I was 17.
Wow.
And I was the youngest student at that time at the school. And I was just so into it. I was like a sponge.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was just amazing. So Diane Lucille introduced me to the works of Alice Bailey. And those were our texts through many of the esoteric classes.
Oh.
We also read classic books, you'd call classic spiritual books, like Autobiography of a Yogi by Yogananda Paramahansa, Initiation by Elizabeth Eich. Why can't I remember them right now? There was a whole string of amazing books that they introduced us to, and wisdoms and esoteric knowledge from things about the color spectrum and the seven rays to, things to do with building the Antahkarana, the bridge between the pineal gland and the pituitary, and basically creating that bridge to heaven that will allow us to ascend. And yes, it was a really incredible time in my life, and I studied with them for about 4 years, went to London for a couple of years to pursue music, and came back to become a yoga teacher, because they rang me in London and said, please come back, we want you to teach. And I sold up and left within a couple of weeks, and I was back here, and that was just the best thing I could have done for myself. And I highly recommend it to everybody, even if you don't ever want to become a yoga teacher yourself. It's one of the most transformative experiences that you can ever go through, and it's so great for you on every level of your being. I can't recommend it highly enough.
Wow. Well, you certainly are inspiring me to get started. I think I'll do some right now. I definitely lead far too sedentary a life.
Well, yeah, it's good to get yourself moving. And even if you just do some deep breathing, if you're not keen on moving, breathing deeply will help you enormously.
Oh, I think my breathing days are over.
Oh, really? You're taking prana in directly through your pores?
Yes, I'm Jasmine has had her effect on me.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Well, you know, someday it may come to that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
No.
Actually, about the pores thing, Margaret Sigesman, who was the initial founder of Gita Yoga, Diane Lucille became the founder. Well, they were given it after she retired. She was somebody who had TB most of her life, and by the time she actually came to Australia, she had had about three quarters of her lungs removed, because back then they had no other way to remove TB but to cut out the disease
sections
of your lung. So Margaret developed a way to directly draw prana in through her pores, and she would draw the life force in, and it would be enough for the day.
Wow.
And the next day she would get up and she would do the same thing. And that's how she lived every day of her life. And at the age of 80, she would bend down and pick up violets with perfectly straight legs.
My goodness.
You know, and pick one up, stand up, bend down again, pick another one up, stand up. She's an incredible woman.
Wow.
Mm.
Well, you know, we hear about these things and it almost sounds like magic to us, but I think what you originally said is true, is that we're in the process of unmagic, and as we start to open these doors, and we can, you know, whichever doors appeal to us, you know, it's just a matter of trying new things and finding out what our own path is. And I think they're all possible.
Yeah, you know, there's validity, there's value in all paths. We just need to find the ones that feel the best to us.
Yeah, yeah.
And be allowing of others as they walk their paths and know that, you know, at our deepest essence, we're all the same.
Yes.
And
yes.
That we're connected there. And no matter what people are like on the outside, that doesn't really matter. At our core, where it really matters, we're the same.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all basically getting there. I heard this great expression. I'm not too sure where I heard it. I may have even heard it on your show with one of your guests, but it was something like, don't worry about being, what was it? Being the last boat in or being the boat left behind.
Uh-huh.
We're all on our own boats. You know, we've all got our own boat, and it's true.
Yeah.
So no one's going to get left behind. Everyone's doing whatever is perfect for them at this time. And as long as we can do that without hurting other people and trying to be as heart-centered as possible and find those tools and find the people who will support us
mm-hmm.
in and along that journey.
Right, right.
Then, you know, if we all just did that, our world would transform immediately.
Yes. You had some interesting guests on your show. Do you have any that are your favorites, or any golden moments that you want to share with us?
Yeah, I'm sure there are. Let me think about this. Well, it was wonderful to have Melon Thomas Benedict.
Oh yes, tell us about Melon.
He is an incredible man. He's somebody that survived a near-death experience. He's unlike any other near-death experiencer, though, because not only was he physically deceased for longer than 2 hours,
mm-hmm.
it was on the clock it was about 45 minutes officially, but
mm-hmm.
It was more like 2 hours. He, unlike many others who simply go to the tunnel and,
yeah.
you know, end up going through the tunnel and doing that, he stopped the process. The moment he left his body, he understood that he had left his body and that he was in the death process, and he could see the light way off in the distance,
uh-huh.
and he made his whole experience interactive.
Yeah.
And he chose to question what was going on.
Yeah.
And as he did that, he received answers.
Yes.
And not only that, he remembered them. That's the best part. He remembered them and he brought them back. And now he works on healing technologies, which is the wildest part of his story, that are inventions that he has come up with based on information that he's gained from going to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And many of these healing technologies have to do with light. So if you look for Melon Thomas Benedict's name on the internet, check out his story called Journey to the Light and Back.
Oh, it's an amazing story.
Yeah, really is.
I mean, it's maybe the most profound written experiences, records of that process that I've ever read.
Same.
Oh,
it moved me to the core.
Yes, and I think he made several trips, and I think he's now able to go back and forth fairly
freely. At will,
Is that correct?
Yeah, all he needs to do is get into a meditative state.
Yeah, yeah.
And he can go back to the light, as he calls it, at will. And he can go into subcellular structures within people's physiology, for example,
uh-huh.
and determine what may be going on down there, bring that information back to be used for these healing technologies. It's just incredible. So he can do what an electron microscope can't do, apparently.
Yeah.
He can
with
go
all
even
of our
deeper
science
than that.
And inventions, you know, leave it to a human to come up with a better way.
You know, and that's what the show Otherwhere is all about. It's showing that our consciousness has unlimited potential.
Yes.
And that we're certainly not limited by third-dimensional reality structures.
Oh, yes, yes.
And the best part of his message was that our consciousness, without a doubt,
mm-hmm.
does not end when we leave this physical body.
So have you had any experiences of that nature since you do so much with meditation? Have you had like Kundalini experience or connections to the other side that you were very moving for you?
Yes, I did. One spontaneous Kundalini event that I had was a really special time in my life when I remembered my starseed lineage. And I was out in the desert in South Australia. I'd just seen a full solar eclipse from the path of totality, no less,
wow.
that day. And that evening, I was fortunate enough to be with some traveling companions who had some great telescopes, who showed me some stars. And at that time in my life, I'd just got my own telescope because I was so obsessed with the stars. I just had to know everything about them. I didn't really know why, I just had to know.
Yeah.
And so they gave me an astronomy lesson. We were under this canopy of diamond lights on a pitch black velvet Australian outback sky.
Whoa.
It was incredible.
Wow.
And I remember looking at the stars and just, you know, my heart was so full. And they said at one point, is there anything that you'd like to look at? And I had no idea what to say because I really didn't know very many names of stars at that point.
Right.
I was quite embarrassed by it. But out of nowhere, the word Pleiades came off my tongue. And
wow.
I said, actually, yes, I'd like to see the Pleiades, please. And I heard myself say it and didn't even know how I said it. And they said, oh, sure, no problem, that's easy. And within 5 seconds, they'd trained the telescope on the constellation. I put my eye on the eyepiece, and the light from the stars entered my retina, and my whole body began to vibrate.
Oh my.
And it started at the base of my spine, and I didn't visibly shake.
Yeah.
But the shaking internally was quite intense and
really
very noticeable to me.
Yeah.
At the same time, I burst into tears, and every cell in my body was singing, "That's home. That's home. That's your home."
Wow.
And I was completely shocked and really perplexed because I had no idea what to do with that information at all
right.
at that time in my life. I was not exactly closed to that, but it wasn't anything that had really ever entered my psyche
right.
consciously.
Right.
So I had to just sort of sit with that for a little while. So that was one of the most incredible experiences. But that cellular awakening was really something that I'll never forget,
mm-hmm.
and something that I could not at the time ignore. And I'm so glad that I didn't ignore it and that I honored it, because when I got back to Melbourne, I did some research and I started finding things, and I was biting my nails, you know, kind of looking at, in the esoteric bookshop, at what books to look at first.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which Pleiadian book do I read first?
Right.
And I chose Amora Kuan Yin's Pleiadian Perspectives on Human Evolution.
Yeah.
And it couldn't have been a better book to start with.
Oh, yeah, she's amazing.
You know, in the foreword, I think Barbara Hand Clough wrote that foreword. She says, please read these stories as if they were your stories.
Yes.
Try for the moment just to put aside your doubting mind and just pretend that these are your stories.
Yes.
And see what happens.
Yeah.
And oh, again, you know, those, you feel these cellular awakenings in your body. It's like bursts of consciousness.
Yes, yes.
Lighting up.
Yeah.
And something in you shifting.
Oh, yeah. I
and
got the same
really,
thing.
Really, everyone who is listening today, please honor those feelings. Trust those impulses because they're speaking to you and trying to get your attention. And it's really worth going down that path and exploring it, no matter what your conscious mind may be saying.
Yes.
And what
yes.
your negative ego
right.
may be trying to tell you. And just pretend if you need to.
right.
For a little while until you can feel your way through things, and eventually things will just fit, and you'll know because, you know, what I do every day is I just trust if something is making my heart expand and open, that's something I want to be around more or stay around or have in my life.
Yes.
If I encounter experiences where my heart shrinks and I contract,
yes.
I know that's not the path.
Yes.
And it's just such an easy, easy way to get into your heart.
Yes.
And
yes.
to feel your way through life. And
yes.
of course we need to use our mind. Of course we need to be discerning. And our brain is so important. But it needs to be taking its direction from the heart.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I used to have, those are such wise words. I mean, if I had to sum up everything I know, it would be in what you just said. I used to have a friend who was an older man, and he would, you know, he got me to do the S training and some other things. But he always said, your mind is out to get you. And it stuck with me, and over the years, through my own processes, and as my heart began to open up more, I realized how that's true. And there's a higher mind that's accessible to us, but not when we're in the mind with a small m. And the heart is the key to accessing those gates or those higher understandings. And, you know, and the heart tells you, the heart tells your cells, and it all interacts so beautifully when we just listen. And, you know, I feel sad when I see that people have hardened their hearts. And, you know, it's so unnecessary, and it's what creates so much of our own suffering. I mean, we create it.
Very, very true.
So.
I think a lot of the diseases that we're seeing escalating in our world, such as cancers and asthmas and low thyroid and adrenal problems, these are all symptoms of us being too much in our heads.
Mm-hmm.
And the field of energy around our head, which should naturally be smaller than the field of energy around our heart,
right.
is overtaking, and so that field of energy is out of proportion.
Yes.
And so if you think about that vibrationally and how that's affecting every layer of your body from the outside in,
yes.
Eventually it's going to get into, creating problems in all kinds of areas of your life and in your body.
Yes.
And we need to get back into creating that field around the heart that can actually extend. When we're in an ecstatic state, that field can be 15 feet in diameter.
Yes.
That's
yes.
huge.
Yes.
So whenever you're in a room with people, you are literally sharing that space
yes.
of the heart.
Yes.
And, you know, falling into resonance, by the way, with the strongest heart energy.
Yes.
Because whenever you're in, you're sharing energy like that, it's a law of physics that, you know, whatever the strongest field is, the others will fall into resonance with it.
Yes.
So if someone's beaming love and gratitude and harmony from their inner being, and that's the strongest force in the room, no matter what is going on in everyone else's heart, they will fall into resonance with that.
Yes.
Conversely, of course, you're going to get the opposite.
Yes.
And so we really need to be aware of that when we're in spaces with other people, and we want people to be in resonance with one another, to just do whatever you can to open your heart
in a safe way so that you still feel as though you have your boundaries
right,
around
right,
you
right.
And you've established those boundaries. But, in, yeah, just in a way where you can hopefully get that process going, you know,
right.
where...
Right.
Yeah, it's a more positive resonance rather than a negative one.
Yes, well, as we know, that when our heart is not open and it's shut down, it's often because of fear.
Yeah.
And fear not only shuts the heart down, but it also tightens the DNA, which literally unravels the more love we're experiencing and the more compassion. So.
Yes.
I'm curious to know if you're talking about some of the things that can affect us in, you know, in the air and the asthmas and things like that. Do you have chemtrails there in Australia, as we do over here in California?
Actually, I've observed the skies here a lot. It's one of my favorite things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen them.
Oh, that's good.
I've seen many photographs of them in rural areas of Australia.
Yeah.
And I've heard quite a few stories from farmers out there who are actually quite upset about them, because often they will appear shortly after some clouds look like they're about to form and turn into rain.
Mm-hmm.
And some planes rock up and spread some of these chemtrails, and a few hours later there's no more clouds.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's a really interesting phenomenon. It's not being spoken about very much.
Yeah.
It's definitely not being reported on.
Yes.
So I can't speak to what's going on in the rural areas, but around the city of Melbourne, I haven't seen anything like that.
It's so
Thank
funny
goodness.
Because here out in the country, I'm in Northern California, and I noticed them quite a long time ago, but during the last few months, they've been quite heavy and daily. And as you said, they do seem to have a direct bearing on the weather that results.
Well, I believe that the rate of respiratory diseases in the USA
mm-hmm.
has escalated quite dramatically just over the last 5 years.
Yes.
So it might be worth, even if your own interest, just seeing if you can find some of those figures and just having a look, because there seems to be some kind of correlation between the chemtrails and respiratory disease.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things that I've seen, I mean, it's hard to know all of the time what's misinformation, what's disinformation.
Right.
But some of the photographs that I've actually seen of some of the particulates that have been collected in the air as it's dropped down to Earth have been barium, which is a metal.
Yeah.
Aluminium, another metal. And desiccated blood cells.
Well, that's interesting.
Have you seen any of that?
Yes.
Information at all?
Yes, you know.
I don't know what to make of that.
I don't know either. And you know, there's one scientist who discovered that there were several forms of bacteria in the samples as well. And I know that some people are even saying that the Morgellons disease is linked to that as well.
That's quite scary, actually.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I've heard a number of radio programs on Morgellons with sufferers and researchers and different doctors and scientists, and it seems that they're now actually making that link, and that I can't even begin to contemplate,
yes.
you know, the effects that could have on a large number of the population.
Well,
because
you know,
in small numbers, it's just
it's
of the most frightening things I've ever seen in my life.
It is pretty scary.
And I don't like to focus on it at all.
No, I don't either.
But we need to be aware of these things.
Absolutely, and I think
be
that,
educated,
you know,
at least, know
when,
that this is happening.
When we get involved in our daily lives, not only when our heart shuts down and we're not connecting with other people and with the earth, we're not looking up either.
Oh, I know.
You know, and it seems that there's such a level of identification that we do become kind of like the robots in the church.
Mm.
You know, and they might be good robots, but, you know, robots are controlled, and the plug can be pulled on them. So, you know, I would encourage everybody to look up into the skies and see what you see for yourself, and you know, see what you can make of it. And you know, look on the internet for information. So what is the next, what's the next exciting thing? What's the next magic carpet ride for you on, for Liz? We don't have, do you have a show on tonight, by the way? You don't, do you?
I don't.
Oh, good.
I apologize, if that's okay.
Because we ran over, we're running over.
I know, we are running over, and I hope that's okay, everybody.
It's okay with me, as long as Dawn cuts in and says, you know, we have a show, but it's your show, so I think you can make that judgment call right now, if you like.
Well, actually, I've switched to a different place on the timetable.
Oh, you did?
I am on the late night stream.
Oh, what time
is the daily,
the
which you're on the daily, aren't you?
Yes.
Yes, I used to be on the daily.
Oh.
But I'm not on there anymore, and I'm on the late night stream, but not this week. I do apologize, everybody.
But ordinarily, your show would be on right after...
Ordinarily, it would be on at 7, but it's just been shifted to 7.30 to 9.30 as well.
Oh, it is? Okay,
yes.
So that leaves a half hour between my show and yours.
Yes, that's right.
Plenty of time for people to... to soak in all the wonderful information they get.
And note-taking, don't forget note-taking.
Oh, yeah, and note-taking, yes, absolutely. And, you know, celebration of life. So what's next on the horizon for you?
I'm terribly excited about what's going to be happening in August.
Oh, tell us about that.
Well, I'm celebrating my 40th year this year.
July.
Yes.
You can't be 40.
I am 40 in
July. Oh, my goodness. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you very much. And I'm taking myself around the world after that.
Wow.
And I'm going to Peru.
Oh, my.
And I am so excited because I'll be visiting with Native American, Native South American elders.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be having sacred ceremony with them. We'll be doing a week-long yoga retreat with a dear friend of mine.
Uh-huh.
And I'll be visiting Mexico and hopefully Brazil as well, doing a bit of DJing on my journey.
Wow.
Which will be so much fun. I can't wait to see all those Latinos dancing around to my music.
Oh,
my
goodness.
It's going to be so fun. While I'm at it, I can see sacred sites, and it's just... something I've been looking forward to, it feels like, my whole life.
Wow.
And I know that it's going to be one of those experiences I won't forget in a hurry.
Yeah.
And I'll probably go through several metamorphoses.
You'll be a different person when you come back, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's next on the agenda. But getting up a website for Otherwear, so that I can have everything all together, and for my DJing, so it'll be LizMiller.com, is sort of in the process of being built at this stage.
Oh, wow.
And that's really great.
Yeah.
I can't wait till that's up and running. And that's pretty much about it, you know. I'm just sort of coasting through life at the moment and not getting too attached to anything. I've been aching to get some new kittens because my cats died last year, both of them within a few months of each other, and they were both lifelong partners and companions.
Oh.
But I can't get too attached yet because I'm going away.
Right, right.
And won't be able to really do any of that sort of thing until I come back. So it's just really fun.
Wow.
I've been having a really nice time working hard, saving money, working on the show, getting the website up and running, DJing, all that sort of stuff.
Well,
and I've been doing some Pleiadian lightwork healing, which has just been one of the most wonderful new developments in my life over the last 6 months.
Yes, you took some classes, didn't you, that were pretty life-changing?
They were indeed. it's a course called Full Sensory Perception.
Uh-huh.
And it's based on the workbook called the Pleiadian workbook. I can't believe I'm forgetting it. It's not in front of me at the moment. But it's, Amora Kuan-Yin's book.
And
she has these incredible teachings. They're accelerated healing techniques that the Pleiadians have shared with us. And I worked with the first part of the process, which was to start doing things like reading auras and doing energy healing in new ways to ways that I'd been taught before.
Uh-huh.
And as I say, they're very, very accelerated healing techniques. So I've just been so privileged to be able to work with a few people now since then. And working with them and clearing things that are incredibly deep and sometimes spanned lifetimes.
Mm.
And I've helped facilitate clearing and healing those things with those people, and that's just been so amazing.
Wow.
And learning that I am actually capable of doing the things that I preach on the show
is
also really wonderful, because that's part of the journey and part of why I do the show. It's, as much as I can, I get guests on the program who can talk about their own experiences and how they've awakened or used otherwhere in their own lives to experience life on a more multidimensional level.
Yes.
And now I'm also adding to my own abilities and faculties in that area.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's just incredible. Something that hopefully I can be a good example for.
Well, you really are, Liz. I mean, you're somebody that I look up to and admire greatly, and I just, you know, it's really an honor and a privilege to know you in this lifetime, and, you know, I really wish you the best. I know that everything you do will be magic. Is there any way that people can find out how to join your group otherwhere or to find out more about your shows?
Definitely. If people would like to join the Otherwhere Network, all they have to do is go to yahoogroups.com and do a search, and it's spelled OTHERWARE, Otherwear. It's sort of like software, hardware, Otherwear. Otherwear. We actually haven't said this during the show, so I might as well say it now, is a word that I kind of use to describe anything that will activate, enhance, or help evolve your inner technologies. And those things are your clairvoyance, intuition, your ability to heal yourself and others energetically, the way that you can use affirmation techniques to change programs that are running in your hardware, you could say.
Right.
And, there's a whole range of different abilities that fall under those categories, I guess you could say, and that's what the program is all about, helping people realize that the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven really is within, and one day we are going to be able to use those inner technologies to carry out whatever it is that we need done.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be an incredible time and phase in human evolution.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I'm certainly thrilled with, you know, I love your show, and I love the group, and I love you.
Oh, thank you, Lance. I love you, too.
And
I really honor what you're doing. I salute your dedication. It's just such an inspiration to see your ability to be vulnerable and, you know, sharing parts of yourself that many others would be very shy about sharing.
Yeah.
On all different levels.
Yeah.
The way that you like to share the lessons that you've learnt and how you've learnt them, that's just so wonderful. And it's a great joy to know you, and I just wish you all the best.
Oh, thanks. You stole all my lines.
So I think that if we all just remember that this is a time of great choosing,
yes.
We're all very much in a mode of having to choose carefully our thoughts, our words, the things that we do, our actions in the world, even the way that we dream.
Yes.
And find our wisdom. Let's choose wisely.
Yes.
And really dream the dream and trust that we can do this.
Yes.
We can really make that next leap that we desperately need to make.
Yes.
And not repeat the mistakes of our past.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Liz, thank you so much for being on the show.
It's my great pleasure.
And I look forward to, who, do you know who your next guest will be coming up?
Actually, I'm still a little bit unsure, and I'm just going to share, at this point in time, I'm just a little bit unsure as to which way to move forward with Otherwear, because I'm finding it challenging on a few levels. Technically, I'm finding it a little bit challenging. I've had equipment problems that have made some of the broadcasts almost unlistenable, and that's been a great disappointment to me. Also, I got such a busy schedule that producing the show each week in the pre-recorded format that I do often requires me to spend sometimes 20 to 30 hours on one two-hour program. And that will include everything, you know, from writing the emails to let people know that it's on, to doing the interviews and editing it and then putting it all together. And I'm finding that very, very challenging, especially now that I really need to be using my time as wisely as possible before I go away and needing to work as much as I possibly can in the time that I do.
Well,
and
go
of course,
to a live
it's a service to others' endeavour.
Yeah.
And I will definitely not stop producing Otherwear because it's too dear to my heart.
Yeah.
But at this point in time, I'm just trying to work my... I just have to feel my way through it for a little bit longer. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do just yet.
Okay.
So I just want everybody to know that Otherwear will definitely continue, and hopefully very, very quickly after this conversation. We won't have to wait too long for another show. But I'm not quite sure how I'm going to move forward with it.
Well,
so please stay tuned. And if you want to keep in touch with me, you can always go to my MySpace page and have a look at what I'm doing there.
What is the address for that?
All you need to do is go to myspace.com/LizMusic, and it's spelled LizMuzik, so it's Liz Music. And I'd love for you to drop me a line and send a message and sign up as a friend. Actually, Lance, when are you going to get your MySpace page up and running? We need you to get one.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I'll have to look into that.
Okay, that'd be good. I need to have you on my friend's page.
Oh, okay. Well, I will look into that.
So I guess that's it for us, isn't it?
I guess so. You know, I wanted to suggest that you do your show live, but I think you already know that option. So, you know, your higher self, your soul will tell you what's the right move to make and
in the right moment. Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have all the faith in you and in the world.
Thank you.
So,
thank you very
much. You're too special and too vibrant to have a barrel put over your light or what.
And I've just got too much to say.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
I've got so much to say, and I think I'm going to continue needing that platform, and I just so want to keep bringing people to the audience who I just believe in and want to help share their message, because there's so much great news in the world.
Yes.
And I really want to help be part of, you know, educating people about what's going on in the world, but what's going on in a really positive way.
Yes.
And, yeah.
And in the inner world.
We'll keep doing that. Yes,
that's
definitely
where you really shine the best.
Definitely.
So, well, we should let our listeners go. Before they expect us to carry on another hour. That's one of the fun things about being live like this.
This is live radio.
You know,
yeah.
I had some notes and some questions that I had written down, you know, that I could have asked, but, you know, I basically just were talking naturally. So, you know.
So hopefully everyone out there was mildly entertained by all of that.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure when you asked me to come on the show.
Oh, well, if nothing, I was mildly entertained for sure.
Good, I'm glad.
More than mildly. Well, thanks again, Liz. And everybody be sure to catch her show at The Otherwear and visit her website or her MySpace site.
Yes, and please do check out the archives, because they're all there at bbsradio.com. Just click on the archives page and just check out some of the past Otherwhere shows, and hope you enjoy them.
Absolutely. Thanks
all right,
again,
darling,
Liz.
Take good care.
All right.
Lots of love. Bye-bye.
Lots of love. Bye.